B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. The last Friday in May. Oh, man. How about it? We're about to turn the calendar. We're about to go to month number 6 in the year 2020. And hopefully the back end of 2020 will be a lot better than the first half of 2020. We will have, it looks like the NHL will start. I mean, it kind of feels like end of July. That's kind of the word. I mean, that's the one sport that appears to be. It's going to be strange because I think it's going to take a little longer. So I don't think you're going to have, I think it's going to be like toward the back end of July, we'll see sports start to kind of happen. And then it'll be like crazy. Like we're going to have, you know, the teeth of the NHL and NBA playoffs, because the NBA is still going to play its regular season games. And we'll have the teeth of the NBA and NHL playoffs coincide with football. Like, it could set up to be like a crazy time. An absolute crazy time. It could be a lot of fun. Anyway, lots to get to today. So we've been highlighting great quarterback performances during the show this week. On Tuesday, we did Randall. On Wednesday, we did Donovan. Yesterday, we did Jaws. And today, let me hear it.
Chimney. How's everyone doing? Let's make some noise. Come on.
Foles. I want to hear from you today, all you Folesian freaks. I want to hear from you. Today, we're going to highlight 27-2. This is not the quarterback. This is not the Super Bowl week in the playoffs. We highlight a great performance by Nick Foles, and we're going to throw back to 27-2, the 27-2 season. And we're going to throw back to Nick Foles against the Raiders in that incredible day, record-breaking day, Canton, Ohio day. So we're going to throw back to that moment. And, you know, in addition, because I want to get back to our ode to the Eagles, which Major League Baseball spoiled yesterday. So I kind of want to get back into that. And I really want to get back into ode to the Eagles. But one of the things besides just your own Eagle fandom and what they mean to you, which is like a really blanket question, like what the Eagles mean to you. But I want to dive into Foles today. And a couple things come right to mind. So, obviously, I'm a big Carson guy, right? And listen, what's not to like about Nick Foles? He's a great dude. He won the Super Bowl. He's got a clutch gene. And, you know, part of Nick Foles is a part of the right, wrong, being a sports fan thing, too. So I'll go back to the year 2072. I was not a big Nick Foles fan. There were people that loved Foles, loved him. And listen, I liked him, and there's nothing against him personally, because I thought personally he was a great guy. But I never thought he was the answer as a starting quarterback. I thought he was more flash in the pan, Chris Coast type, you know, that guy. The guy that comes out, has like a couple monster games, puts together a good run, and maybe has a good season, but it's not the long-term answer. And I was very stubborn the year of 27-2. I was actually on the other station doing the show, And I was with Robbie Ellis, and who remains a friend of mine. And I used to, Robbie was a huge, huge Foles guy. And we saw him all the time. Well, I'll say it. He doesn't move. He moves like a drunken giraffe or a baby giraffe. And, you know, I don't like his movement. You know, I'm not overly impressed. His ball flutters a little bit. You know, capable backup, but not the franchise quarterback. Well, you know, he has a great year, and I'm still stubborn about it. And, you know, the next year he was bad, and he kind of is what he is. But then again, he comes back, and he really grew as a quarterback. I thought Nick Foles, and I really try to look at him objectively, grew as a quarterback under Doug and Frank Reich, and I think maturity. I think quarterbacks are at their best at 30. If you reach the 30 years old and you have your physicality, like you're not banged up, beat up, injured, if you still have your body and you're at 30, that's entering the prime of a quarterback in my eyes. Because I think you are seasoned enough and you are comfortable enough and you still have tremendous strength in your arm. You're not thrown out. That begins your prime. I remember Brady, this is a few years ago, he was like 38 or 39, and he said that he felt the best he had ever felt in his career. He was most confident. He had he felt strong physically, and he said he was at his best ever. That was 38, 39. So I think Nick Foles at 30, 31, I thought he matured as a quarterback. I thought he played some really good games. I go back to that Houston game the year after he wins the Super Bowl, the game the Eagles had to win, and he outdueled Deshaun Watson and made a couple great throws. And, you know, listen, I think he became – I still don't think he's a franchise quarterback, but he is the best backup you would want. But there's no one better as a backup. In fact, other than Frank Reich, he may be as good as Frank Reich as the ultimate backup quarterback in the history of the NFL. There's three that come to mind. Frank Reich, Jeff Hostetler, and Nick Foles. So today is also an ode to Foles. So those of you who are in the Folesian society, I want to talk to you. And now that we got some time and some space, I think it could be a great conversation. And why you love Foles. And if you still believe Foles should be the quarterback over Wentz. There was a time when we had, and I'll go back to it, it was about a year and a half ago. And I'll never forget, we were at the Grand Cafe L'Aquila on Chestnut Street. And we were doing a show. And I lost it. It was a Foles-Wentz show. And it was during the Foles and Wentz and the back. And people were like, Foles got to be the quarterback, Wentz is out. And I remember, I don't know if you guys remember the show, but I remember I was so mad. And I let it get personal. I can look at it now and go, yeah, I crossed the line. I was so mad. I was so disappointed that Wentz didn't really get a true opportunity, comes back into broken bone in his back, and nobody wanted to hear it. And I look back on it. I don't blame you. You know, I really don't. Foles had some great moments. And we had a show, and it was nasty. And we were fighting. I was fighting with you, the Folesian guys. And I look back on it now, and, you know, whatever. But I think it could make for some a lot of fun conversation. We will go over the NFL rule changes. The 4th and 15 did not make it. Or the one play for 15 is the onside kick. Did not make it. And we'll talk about why, and I actually agree with it. We'll give you the Friday Five. Lots to get to. Good morning, Tunis.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
What are you doing, brother?
I'm still just amazed by that 7-touchdown game. I'm finishing up the playback as we speak, and I'm like, oh my God, it looked easy. Now, there were cornerbacks.
The Raiders were horrible.
Well, their defense was actually ranked high that year, but the corners, there were 2 touchdowns where the corners just fell, right?
Yeah, and it was pitch and catch.
One was Deshaun Jackson and one was Cooper. And it was just like, they were all by themselves. But, but you're right. I mean, I remember that feeling in 2013 where, I mean, I was in college at the time, and out of nowhere, you know, walking the campus at Temple, Foles jerseys popped up everywhere. Right, like I remember walking to class on a Monday morning, and you see a lot of Eagle Green whenever they would win. And that's, you know, that was typical college. And then I look at the back, I'd wait for them to walk by, and I see number 9, I see Foles. I'm like, oh my God, this guy has taken over the city. I mean, I was right there, right up on North Broad.
Dude, they love them. He got his height during the Super Bowl, obviously.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, people, at that point, people were kind of split on him. But, yeah, I mean, they were infatuated with him back then.
You're right, split. But the people, like, it wasn't like I think he's an all right player. I think he's got a future. No, it was like, if you're a pro Foles, you loved Nick Foles. Like, there was no in between.
Robbie Ellis all the time. Oh, you love Nick Foles. You love him. I used to tease him all the time about that. And listen, he's the guy who won the Super Bowl. So, there's vindication for those Foles people. Again, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback or a starting quarterback. He's like, you're in a pinch. You need a guy to start for a year for a franchise. He's kind of that guy. But he's the greatest backup you ever want, right? Like, is he the greatest backup in the history of the NFL? Like, I gave you Reich, who came back in that amazing game.
Right.
Against the Oilers, and then I give you Hostetler who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. It's really Foles and Hostetler, right? Like the two guys that actually won.
Right,
you know, that's the debate. And Foles says
Reich was a great. Like I know it was before your time,
right?
But Frank Reich was a great backup.
Player. Right. But I just look at the trophy and I go, all right, those two guys, they won it for their teams, and
right.
Maybe you give the nod to Foles because he then came back and did it again, really, the next year. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
I think Foles is a better quarterback than Hostetler was. But if I'm going to look at the two, I think Hostetler was. He moved a little bit. Again, it's more archaic age of quarterbacks.
Right.
And I think Foles clearly was a way better thrower. It's not even close. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't see anybody better than the backup quarterback than him.
Yeah, I mean, he won the big game. I mean, obviously, you have like those years, like.
But I'm excluding that because that's just a trump card, right? That's
right,
like
the Super
boom. Bowl. You know, I'm gonna lay the hammer down. That's a mic drop. Super Bowl, but if you're gonna look at him and say, as a quarterback, talent-wise, I think he's the best backup in the history of the NFL.
I'm just trying to think of recent guys. Like, obviously, Teddy Bridgewater goes 5-0 last year. But he was really a starter and had a freak injury that led to him being a backup, right?
Well, I'll be honest with you.
You go Foles?
I go Foles over Bridgewater. I love Teddy, but I go Foles over Teddy. I would. All right, well, we got lots to do, man. We're lots to give a lot of fun. It's a Friday Five for you today. Today, listen, with all that's going on in the world, you need a break. I know I do. I got to turn off CNN, turn off all the
First thing I did
news.
This morning.
Oh, we got American cities burning. You know, we got injustice throughout. I mean, awful, awful, awful things happening in the world. And, oh, yeah, pandemic. So you come here and we're going to kind of nestle. All right? We'll get you through it. Let's hide in sports. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas. Just getting started on a Friday on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio Tunis at 10:21 on a Friday morning. All right, so NFL rule changes. Let's go through the news of the day. The NFL rule changes, they shoot down the onside kick alternative, which is one play from the 25-yard line on a fourth, or really basically for on a, they make it a fourth and 15th. And the Eagles were the one who proposed it. So the Birds proposed the rule change. The NFL, the owners, did not pass. And it did not pass because of the disparity of quarterback play across the league, which, when you think about it, makes a lot of sense. Because I know if I'm an NFL team and I don't have a quarterback like a Wentz or, you know, the haves, and I'm a have-not, that's a huge advantage.
Right. You think of teams like Baltimore and Kansas City, like you can do whatever you want to defend the pass, but it's also pretty difficult when Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes can also throw the ball very well, but then just put the ball down and run and get a first down.
Exactly. So I think, you know, I'm afraid I think they're right. The quarterback disparity is just too great to have that kind of role. So they made the replay. How about this? The expanded replay into penalty on touchdown or turnover. They made that permanent, Andrew.
Yes.
You like that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean,
I like that too. I like it better than, I mean, challenging every damn penalty. No good.
No. I mean, the pass interference thing, I'm glad that got wiped away.
Yes.
I mean, that was just so bad. And nobody knew what a pass interference was anymore.
Right.
Because on tape, it looked like it was a pass interference, but they would somehow find a way to say it wasn't. And it was just a mess.
Right.
So I'm glad they got rid of that. And I'm okay with you know, every touchdown, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. How about this? They expand the defensive player, the punt kick returner. I love this. They are going to protect the game from being manipulated by multiple dead foul calls.
Yes, which is what Tennessee did in the game against New England. And it was genius.
Yes.
Vrabel was a genius for doing it.
Well, Belichick did it.
In the regular season against them, right? I think it was against the Titans.
I know. Belichick did it. And it was against the Titans then used it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And then they're going to add a third player that you can bring back from IR, which I like. I don't even know why. Like, other than labor costs, which the NFL should be ashamed, it makes so much money.
Right.
I don't know why they don't just have expanded rosters, like, to the point where, you know, who cares?
Yeah, I don't get it either. You're right. Like, I don't understand.
Like, they want to talk about, well, you know, labor costs, roster size, you know. They should at least have five more players anyway. Right?
Right. Yeah, we're talking about expanding the season.
And I never understood, you can't dress guys. to 53 man. I don't. Do you understand that either?
No.
Like, why that matters? If you want to dress, like, you should have, you know, you should have the capacity to have four different quarters. Like, who cares?
Right. Exactly.
Why is that a thing?
Yeah. Why is it like last frowned year, upon to have three?
Like last year, you couldn't play Sudfeld. You remember during the game?
Right.
You couldn't play Sudfeld.
Yeah, you go Wentz, gets hurt.
The third quarterback.
McCown comes in. And then if McCown goes out, you got to do the emergency quarterback.
Right. Well, like, what sense does that make? Why is that? But that's stupid.
It is dumb because, let's face it, no team's going to overload and have, like, five quarterbacks.
Well, if they do, who cares? Like, whatever.
Right, but, what does it do?
Well, you make your roster, you know, 65-man roster. Right? Oh, so you got some more payroll. Ooh. There's still minimum guys.
Right.
You're adding minimum guys.
Yeah, and you make that vet minimum money back in one game.
Practice squad. Just why have a 65-man roster? That's it. Enough with all the nonsense. Right? Like, who cares about that? That's what I would say. Anyway, there's your rule changes.
Yeah, nothing groundbreaking, but, you know, I was kind of bummed out about the onside kick thing when it first came out. But then you're right, the way they explain it, like, you know, I've Ryan Fitzpatrick as my quarterback. Like, why would I want to say, go ahead, Kansas City, go for it on 4th and 15 right. with Patrick Mahomes when it's going to be a higher success rate? But part of there's two sides to it, right? Like, I was bummed out because the onside kick is pretty much impossible at this point because you can't load up guys on one side anymore. And I go, all right, then you can't. What's the point of even doing an onside kick anymore? It's not going to work. We know it's not going to work. It's just a part of the game. You're going to do it just to do it in hopes that you can come back. But then I remember I saw Troy Vincent make a statement saying part of it is also we don't want a comeback to be so easy, right? Because the 4th and 15, not that that's easy, but it could be a higher success rate than the onside kick, not only today's onside kick, but even 10 years ago onside kick. So maybe it makes a comeback way too easy, and you shouldn't be able to come back from a 2-touchdown deficit that easily. You get what I'm saying? Because that was another part of the reason.
Yes.
Like, why should Kansas City be able to just, 21-point deficit is gone.
Yes.
Because we did it, because you were allowed, they pushed for two times, right? You were allowed to do it twice. So you're down 21-0. You score a touchdown. It's 21-7. Patrick Mahomes converts the 4th and 15, scores again. It's 21-14. Then they can run it another time.
Yes.
Now, it's going to be very difficult to do that, but for some teams, it might not be that terrible.
I know. No, I agree. I completely agree. All right. Also, news. Did you hear the trade rumor in the NBA?
No, what do we got? We're trading Ben again?
Not for us. Not for the Sixers.
Ben for Chris Paul, do it!
I just had it my own violation. No, this is not a Sixer trade. This is another trade rumor that will affect the Sixers, and it scares me to death.
Ooh. Is it something to do with Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No.
So there's already talks about him joining a super team at some point.
Yeah, I don't worry about him. I love him. I think he's a good dude. I think he's going to stay, and he'll stay a little while. Oh, this one is you sure don't know?
No, who do we got?
Bradley Beal to the Nets.
Oh, man.
So they would go Kyrie, Beal,
and Durant.
Oh, God, no. No. I do not want that deal to go through.
How many years have we been asking the Sixers to trade for Beal at this point? Two or three now?
I would keep saying, what a perfect fit he is.
Yeah. No, I don't want to give up a first-round pick for Beal. All right.
Yeah. Wow. Could you imagine if you had, instead of Horford, you had Beal?
Oh, my God. You could. You could do so much things.
Spacing on the floor, you know?
I mean, just think about Ben Simmons' ability to pass. And really, in his career, has had one guy that can hit that transition three. And that was Redick. And half a season of Bellinelli. Right?
Yeah.
And like in today's NBA, the transition three is a big part of the game. And not only can Ben Simmons, you know, dribble and drive, he can also pass very well. Imagine if he had a lights out 3-point shooter that he can dish it to.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now we've had James Ennis in the corner. Right? Like that's oh man.
I know. That's a scary thought. Bradley Beal. Oh my God. And then the other thing I want to bring up is the Roy Halladay documentary, the 30 for 30. That's going to premiere this weekend. I believe it's
tonight.
Tonight.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it was tonight, Sunday. Yeah, tonight. Can I make a confession to you?
Go for it.
I'm not watching it.
Why?
I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see Roy Halladay as a train wreck.
I totally understand.
I do. I think it's unnecessary. Like, listen, I get why it's made. It's a very, you know, guy's life spiraling downhill.
Right.
I get it. Prominent figure. With a, you know, battling hidden demons. Like nobody knew. When there was that moment in, I always go back to Halladay in Chicago, right?
Yep.
Halladay in Chicago, overheating, was a frightening thought, was a sight. Well, now you know why, right? Now you know why Halladay was overheating. He was doing cocktails of pain medication, pain pills. I don't need to see the dude. I don't need to see the story.
See, I want to watch it, and I have some reasons why. You know, I think I just... You know, I don't need to be inspired, right? Like, I've never gone down that path, and I, you know, thank God that I've never gone down that path. But I think part of it is going to be inspiring for a lot of people.
Inspiring?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be inspiring.
What's inspiring about watching a guy's life?
No. There's part of it is, all right, you know, people deal with that, right? Like, people deal with that. And
but that's not inspirational. That's not, I mean, it might be a good coping mechanism to help people that are dealing. I mean, listen, addiction in this day and age, what are we, you know, that's novel.
Right. Right now, I'm not saying like inspiring, like, yeah, let's, you know, maybe inspiring is not the right word, but
it's definitely not inspiring.
I wonder if it's going to help people or if it's going to be. Like, if I know somebody who's dealing with it.
But let me ask you a question, seriously. Yes. Addiction is so prevalent in our society. You need Roy Halladay and watching his demise to make light of it?
No, I'm not trying to make...
Not you. To bring light to addiction. My point is that addiction is so prevalent that it's already in the frontal lobe.
Right, we already know that
of
it's
our
there.
Brain. Right. I don't need to have Roy Halladay put a spotlight on addiction.
No, but what I'm hoping for is maybe when Brandi Holiday speaks, because she's a part of it, right? Brandi Holiday's a part of it. Roy Halladay's father's a part of it. Maybe something, like I can get something from it, where then if I know somebody who's dealing with it, right, I can then talk to them Like, I wonder if I can, me personally, who doesn't deal with it, myself, knowing someone who does, maybe I can get something from it.
As it, what, like there hasn't been, you know, a slew of addiction stories and, you know. Listen, I understand and I think it's noble to think that way. And that's fine. Like, I get it. I get it. You know, I get it as a story. It's a story. So it's a 30 for 30.
Right.
As a storyteller, and that's basically what I am, more than even a journalist. I've always been more storyteller because that was my job at the newspaper. I would write 5,000-word stories that would tell a story.
Right.
And that's a story. I believe me, it's warranted as a 30 for 30, the Roy Halladay story. However, I ain't watching it. There's nothing about it that I'm interested in. I don't see, now this is just me personally, I got no interest in watching an athlete who I really liked.
Right.
Go into a demise, spiral down into some demise. I don't need to see it. It would do nothing for me. Like, I know the story,
right?
Do I need to know how, like, the depths of his addiction, the depths of the fight against the, you know, his own demons? No, I really don't need that.
No, and trust me, it's gonna be a tough watch. I've watched some of the previews of just Brandy Holiday speaking, and it's hard to get through the 30 to 60 second clip that's posted on Twitter.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know if maybe it can help me out with someone that I know. Right? Like I don't know.
It's not, I mean, dude. I mean, let's be real.
I don't like
if you know somebody that's doing that whose life is a wreck and who's battling addiction, you know what to do. You need to watch Roy Halladay die. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. I'm also watching it for the family members.
Watching it for his family members
to see how if they to have any advice, if like, right?
What advice? What advice you need? What advice you need? Listen, you see a sign, you got to try to help that person, no matter what,
right?
Because you know that it can end in a bad way.
Yes,
whether it's Roy Halladay or Roy Jones Jr. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just, whoever it is. Addiction is addiction. Addiction knows, you know, no boundaries. So, what you see it, you got to help that. You care about that person, you try to help that person. That's it. Now, you know, I don't need to watch a story of him going down and see the sadness of those of that family, that wife, you know, who I knew,
right.
I knew Brandy Halladay. I had her on my show. And those kids that I talked to Charlie Manuel, and Charlie looks out after. They're without a father. That's the whole crime of the story is not Halladay himself, is that he left behind those kids, those and his wife. But those boys, they he left behind. You know, that's the sad. I don't need to see that. That's just me. And again, I'm not faulting you for wanting to watch it. My only point is that addiction stories are so prevalent,
right?
That, you know, there's nothing novel. You're not gonna, you know, this idea of learning something. We're gonna learn. Guy addicted to painkillers. Guy's life goes, you know, downhill. The guy has means so he can hide it. And the guy dies, leaving behind a tragedy. You know, that's the story. Shame. It's you know, it's shame for those, for again, those kids and that family. It's horrible. But I, you know, again, I and I'm just talking as a sheer, as a fan of the guy. Like, I love to watch the guy. I love the guy. He was my one of my favorite pitchers of all time. I don't want to see it. I got no interest in it. I'm curious, those who and those who don't, if there's anybody on my side. All right. We got to open up the phone lines coming up. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. So I want to hear from Folesy and Society. I'll give you the five coming up. And then, you know, what we're talking about with the Doc documentary, the Doc 30 for 30. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back, 10:48. I'm curious if that is even poll worthy, or if, you know, most people are going to watch it and that's that. What do you think?
I don't think you're alone. I really don't. And, you know, I tell myself I'm going to watch it. I don't know if 10 minutes in I got to turn it off, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm those minute clips that they have posted, yeah. I go, oh my God, this is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll see. I mean, it's not 9 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. So it's early. You know, there's a lot of people that missed the first episodes of the Jordan documentaries because they didn't want to stay up till 9. It's 7 o'clock on a Friday. So people can watch it. I wonder if there are people that will choose not to watch it, A, because it may be too difficult, or B, like you kind of said, you know the story already. You know, why watch this and maybe it changes or hurts your opinion on Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want to remember Roy Halladay as the Cy Young Award winner, you know, guy that threw the no-hitter in the playoffs, the perfect game for the Phillies, was an incredible pitcher in both the American League and the National League, Hall of Famer, right? Like, and I would like to just remember him that way, but I don't know. The story's out there, and I don't know what it is why I want to watch it. I don't know if it is because of this eye-opening thing. I don't know, Ant. It's not because, oh, there's something about Roy Halladay, let me watch it. No, it's like, I think there's just something to it that makes me want to watch it.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Teach his own. I look at it. I mean, you know, television's not for anybody. I watch my shows, and they're not for everybody, and same thing. You know, we all have different tastes. And for someone that I loved, like I did, I loved the guy. I was a big fan of Halladay. I don't need to see that dude go downhill. I really don't. I don't need. I'm still haunted by the red face in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, really, melting down. It wasn't even that hot.
Right.
The one time. One was against Atlanta, and the other one was against Chicago. And it was, now you know why. Anyway, all right, let's get a couple calls, and then I'm going to give you the Friday Five for today. So it was interesting. Real quick, Chris says, we were talking about greatest backups. He brought up Steve Young. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I meant more not Steve Young types or Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I meant more true backups. Like, yeah, Steve Young backed up Montana and Rodgers backed up Favre. But those guys were great players who just happened to sit behind the incumbent starters. I'm talking about guys who are legit backups.
Yeah, you're going to get signed to hold a clipboard just in case. Now, of course, Foles got a starting job in Jacksonville, which he lost very soon.
And look, you know, he's going to start Chicago. He's not a franchise quarterback. I think we all understand.
He's more Fitzpatrick, a guy that's going to bounce around, and you know he'll come to a team and be the starter and groom the backup. You know the young quarterback.
Funny, West Virginia Rick said this, and he's right. Fitzpatrick's actually a great backup quarterback.
Yes, a guy that you know you can win some games with Fitzpatrick. I mean, remember everything with the Winston when he was in Tampa?
Yeah.
Fitzmagic?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a great backup quarterback. All right, let's go to Rashad. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Rashad.
What's up, Ann? How y'all been?
Good, buddy. What's happening with you, my brother?
Doing all right. You know, I just cook for the family. I'm off today, so I cooked a little pancakes and sausage for him.
Oh, did you? You're a good dad, man.
I try.
You, brother. That's awesome.
I just wondered a little bit about the whole baseball situation.
Yeah.
And then a little bit about you were talking last week about Doug and Carson, but I just want the people that call up that, and I know I understand the situation where, where both of them are getting on your nerves, but be careful because I'm just going to say this. Billionaire owners look at millionaire players like millionaire owners look at employees and their unions.
Yes.
So those millionaire owners are quote unquote essential workers now, they're looking at this and they're going to see how this plays out. And they're going to be like, oh, okay. So when unions for employees around the city and around the country, when their contracts are up, they're going to take a note from them.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Be very careful of who you try to side with, or if you don't side with anybody, that's fine. But I'm always going to go for the player.
I got news for you. Listen, when it comes to the issue, I would side with the player. Like, even now, because they already agreed to a pay cut, right? So, whatever. Now they're trying to go double down.
Okay.
So I agree with the player. However, when it comes to... Though I don't forget the owners because they're an unlikable bunch to begin with.
Oh, you already know what that is. Yeah.
Right. But these players are creeps in my eyes.
Oh, it's just like be quiet. I know, I get it.
You know what I mean? Like, the issue, I'm pro labor. I'm labor. We're all labor, right? Because we're owners. And so I'm pro labor. But I don't like the lack of humanity.
Yeah, they're just not thinking. They're not looking at the way I try to look at the big picture.
Exactly.
They're not looking at the big picture.
Exactly. And it's only baseball guys. Like, you know, I hear from NFL guys.
Mm-hmm.
I hear from NBA guys.
Yeah, they're smart enough not to go online and say nothing. Go,
right, but I also hear them chime in positive ways. You know, who's donating?
Exactly.
Like, there's got to be 20 NBA guys that donated more than six figures to the
You know what that is. I think a lot of that situation is a lot of the NBA and NFL guys come from certain backgrounds. A lot of the MLB guys may not necessarily come from where they were struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
You know, everything. I'm not saying they were rich, but they were okay. They didn't have to worry about survival. They were just worried about, you know, going to school, maybe a bully, maybe it wasn't the extent. So they understand about the regular people because they saw them in their neighborhood. Maybe some of the MLB, not all of them, because some of them come from other countries. And
the
majority of the MLB players didn't necessarily come from necessarily survival. If you know what I'm saying.
Right. Exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
With Doug T and Carson, I agree with you all the way. It's been a risk. I don't know what it is. But it seems to me there's been a rift there since somewhere in that 2017 season. And I don't know where it happened, but I personally, and this is just my little take, I don't think he initially would have preferred that when they traded for the pick to go get Carson, they traded twice, right? They traded to get the 16.
They traded to get to 13 and then two.
Yeah. See, I think he would have preferred to stay at 13, get what they could. I think that whole Russell Wilson, that's a cover-up. He wanted Dak. By him getting Jalen Hurts, that pinpoints something to me. He wanted Prescott. He likes Prescott's skill set. And the thing the way he's looking at me is...
Doug wasn't around when they were looking at Russell.
No, that's what I mean. I don't think that Russell had anything to do with it. I think it's because, and the whole thing with me is I'm just looking at it like the skill set of Jalen Hurts is more, well, Dak is a better thrower, but I think he would have preferred to have
he's taken Dak.
And with Dak, he's looking at it like, well, Peterson and Frank Reich, with Dak has had the better players around him. Carson's had the better tutelage. And so
I don't know. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know about tutelage. I really don't. I think Wentz knows how to play quarterback.
Oh, no, I think he does.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he needs Doug Peterson to teach him anything.
Oh, no, not so much him. About the mechanics, like those little quirks.
Yeah, I think that DeFilippo...
Filippo and Wright, yeah.
Yeah, I think those two had a lot to do with, yeah, I would agree with that. I would. Hey, man, great call, brother, as always. Thank you. I appreciate it. Great call. Let's keep it going.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.